Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
ABC, motherfucking D, suck my balls. Buenos tardes, mi amigo. Hola, my good friend. Cinco de mayo on Tuesday, and I hoped we would see each other again. La 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 la. Thank you, as always, to Ween for providing me an intro song. They have signed off on nothing. One of these days I will be receiving that letter from the attorney. Actually, no, I don't think so, because I'm covering it, right? Yeah. I'm good. So, but that's a Ween song. Beautiful song. I love it. Thank you. This is episode number 22, I believe. Speaking of theme song, it reminded me. I was going to mention this a while back, but I forgot. And so, talking about Ween and that theme song, this is episode 23. Every 50 episodes, I am going to switch the theme song. I need your recommendations, your nominations for what the theme song, the intro song to Mikey Likes You should be. Go ahead and provide them in at Mikey Likes You 1 in the DM, whether that be Twitter or Instagram, at Mikey Likes You and then the number 1. Please give me like your nominees, and then I'll narrow it down to like 3 or 4. I'll do the top 5 of the nominees that you guys provide, and I'll do a poll, and then whichever one wins will become the new theme song. Every 50 episodes, I'll rifle through them. The reason I'm doing it so early, about halfway through, is because if you guys fucking nominate, you know, Tom Sawyer from Rush, I need some time to get going. I feel confident that, like, I'll be able to pull off whatever you ask for, but I just need, like, for some songs, it's going to be a lot of practice and a lot of preparation. Then there's going to be, you know, the like simple ones, you know, it could be, but there's always that chance, you know, and then some of you may be dicks and will on purpose continually nominate, you know, like Dillinger Escape Plan or like a Mastodon song. In which case I will say, no way, dude, on Twitter or Instagram, I'll be like, dude, yeah. No way. It doesn't go with the theme of it. But then I'll DM you privately. I'll be like, I can't play that. I'll be very honest. That's too hard for me. But there you go. So I like the fan interaction aspect of the podcast. The fact that I have complete control, and I love the fact that I get to interact with you guys. And I love Buenos Tardes to start the show. But, you know, I want to keep it fresh. I want to get to a couple things before I get to the Q&A portion of this Q&A podcast. This Q&A version, this Q&A episode-y. And that is something that I actually saw on Quora. It's kind of like a, I don't know what you call Quora, but I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it, but some of you might not be. And it's just like people post questions about anything. And experts will answer your question. But it could be about anything. I've actually posted a couple questions about it up on Quora. Q-U-O-R-A. And some epidemiologist, actually, or like cultural anthropologist, answered my insane, dumb bro science question. But I follow like the health and fitness sections, I guess, the tab of health and fitness within Quora. And so I get these updates every day. And a lot of times they're really dumb questions, but a lot of time, actually, no. Most of the time, they're dumb, easy-to-answer questions. But, you know, a quarter of the time, they're really, really, really good questions. And the people on Quora I've seen are these quote-unquote experts tend to be actual experts, at least from my opinion. You know, from my perspective, I see them as answering these questions really well. And this question came out, and I thought, like, oh, man, I got to talk about this because this is a really good question that I think a lot of people who are beginners or intermediates might have this question in the back of their brain. And it seems reasonable. Like, it's very understandable to have this question. And the question was, is doing 3 sets of 10 just as good, better, or worse than doing 10 sets of 3 with the same weight? So doing 3 sets of 10, 30 reps cut into 3 sets, is it just as good, better, or worse as doing 30 reps but cut into 10 sets, therefore reps of 3, with the same weight? And that is the big thing that changes the game. With that question, that little end, that little suffix of at the same weight, makes it a very good question with, I think, an important answer. And it makes it so that I can actually answer it with some confidence. They're both just, well, no, okay. 3 sets of 10 with a given weight is much better than 10 sets of 3. Why do I say that? Because if you can do a weight for 10 reps, it is far too light to be doing a set of 3 reps. If it's the same weight and you're getting the same amount of reps, you say, well, why? Because during a set, if you can get up to 10 reps, that means that the weight is light enough that you can get into that strength endurance phase past, you know, 3 to 5 reps, 8 to 10 reps. If you're getting to 10 reps with good form and you can do that for 3 reps, that weight is not very heavy. That's going to be at maximum. If you're a real bulldog, that's 65% of your 1 rep maximum. Doing sets of 3 reps with your 65% 1 rep maximum is dumb and not very effective, unless you're a competitive Olympic lifter or power lifter and you're using that as your speed day. A lot of people call it like the dynamic day, where they do much, much lower weights but focus on moving the bar with extreme speed. And there is a lot of value to that, but I don't think that's most of you listening. Most of you want to look good naked and be jacked and lean and tan and the whole thing. And if you're going to do sets of 3 reps, you have to do a set that when you get to the 3rd rep, you're really, really close to failure if you want the benefits. Now, again, things change when you talk about elite level or high level performance. If you are a power lifter, I know that power lifters, very good ones, they do train at sub-maximal levels in the 3 rep range. But you're essentially practicing a skill. You're practicing the skill of your deadlift and your squat and your bench press at that weight. And, you know, there's a lot of value into practicing your skill with 75-80% of your 1 rep maximum. But for the average dude out there, the average gal out there that just wants to get buff and look sweet by the pool or when they take their clothes off, a sub-maximal set of 3 is really, really useless. If you're trying to gain muscle mass, a set of 10 is very useful. I do think that's the optimal range to be at if you're trying to put on muscle mass. That is not everyone. And I don't mean you can't put on muscle mass at other rep ranges. I just, me personally, my feeling about my body and people I've trained with, that, you know, the higher volume of 10, you know, 8 to 10 sets of 10 reps with sub-maximal weights, you know, 65% around that of your 1 rep maximum, that's optimal for gaining muscle mass. But I've found it to be optimal for people like myself and the guys I train with and the girls I've trained with that are super strong. And I do think that you first and foremost, it's important to be able to create the amount of force necessary to really make those gains within that rep range. So I do think that everyone, whether you think you're advanced or not, unless you are a competitive athlete, honestly, and I mean, and I don't care how jacked you are, I don't care how many years you've been lifting, unless you are a competitive athlete, in which case there's always your sport to take into consideration more so than pure strength and pure muscle mass and pure leanness. If you're a competitive athlete, okay, you don't need to take this advice. But everyone else, again, I don't care how jacked you are. I don't care how long you've been training. I don't care how much you think you know. You can definitely, definitely benefit overall longevity, mood, appearance, performance by working on strength. Getting to the point where if you don't hit certain standards, I honestly don't think you're capable of doing what you need to do in order to make those big transitions that you want, like most people want. You don't want to look mediocre. If you're training, if you're in there dieting and training, you want to look great. And even no matter who you are, you can look that way. You can have your like idealized body within reason. I mean, some people, don't be crazy. If you're 5'3" and 130 pounds, don't be like, I'm going to be Ronnie Coleman in his prime. But within reason, you whatever that vision of your idealized body is, you can have that. But to get there, I honestly think step number one has to be to getting to certain levels of strength. And so, you know, training in that five reps, I've always recommended the 5x5 program is an awesome program to start with, no matter how experienced you are. Do 3 months of 5x5, then come back to being like, okay, now I think I can look at more volume and more frequency and all these things that you can then go to, but you can't put the cart in front of the horse. I've always said, like, if you're going to build a house, right, interior decoration is important. You want your house to look awesome, and I get that, but that doesn't matter one bit unless the frame is erected in a perfect way, and that's what you got to apply to your body. None of it matters. None of your like pump and cut and lean and your P90X and all that stuff, which is, I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying, like, if you want to get to that journey, you know, to that finish line that you have in your mind of six pack abs and, you know, a beautiful body or like, you know, amazing booty and legs, like you see like Instagram models, if you're female, like you got to get to a certain level of strength first. I do think that is the foundation and framing of your house, and the interior decoration can come next. Because if you start interior decorating a house that isn't erected yet, where do you get? You're going to be real frustrated. And that's, you know, I honestly think is a very similar, it's really analogous to building the right physique. So 3 sets of 10 versus 10 sets of three sets with the same weight, the 3 sets of 10 destroys it, okay? And it was a long-winded way to get to it. Before I get to the Q&A, I also want to point out that, like, a lot of people email me they DM me or message me or put in comments or tweet me, and they're asking about, hey, what do you think about this girl? And what do you think about this guy? And oftentimes I don't really know them because especially, like, the YouTube world of fitness is a vast one that I don't really know much about. But there are people who, like, I either personally know or have come across their work, and I can go, oh, these guys or this gal, they know their shit. So I'm just going to give you a list of the people, like, I can definitely guarantee would be valuable for you to go investigate. And some of these people disagree with each other. But I know everyone that I'm about to name knows their shit. Okay? And there's a lot of value in being confrontational, you know, with like the internet fitness community. So I get that some of these people probably don't even necessarily want to have these, you know, insane YouTube or Twitter battles, but it does get you somewhere. As far as popularity, you know, that's the bottom line. It's marketable. There's currency to it. But here you go. These are people like I totally back and believe in. A former guest on the show, Bobby Maximus. When it comes to just being a super badass and really pushing through your own limits and realizing that there is no governing switch in your brain, that you just have a, kind of an imposed one, and you really can push through that, Bobby Maximus is the guy. I really respect him and what he has to say and like the ethic of what he's putting out. When it comes to looking beautiful, looking amazing, your physique, Greg Doucette. He is this hysterical super jacked IFBB pro Canadian dude. He has a funny, hysterical voice, but he makes really good YouTube videos, and everything he says about training and diet is very, very good information, in my humble opinion. He's very knowledgeable within kinesiology. I believe he does have a degree in kinesiology, and he's an IFBB pro. I mean, his physique is fantastic. Whether or not he's, you know, a lot of people shit on him because he's not a top five, you know, IFBB pro. But the bottom line is he's a professional bodybuilder within the IFBB, and he's got insane levels of leanness and like a full, beautiful physique year round. And he puts out a lot of good information on his YouTube channel. It's Greg Doucette. So it's a guy I definitely think is putting out good content. Steffi Cohen, for you ladies out there, she's not big. She is a small, wee little thing, and she breaks world records in powerlifting. But she also understands that that's not for everybody, and that most women just want to have a beautiful physique. And she walks you through why most women do it wrong. There's this idea of, like, I don't want to be bulky. I don't want to lift heavy weights because fill in the blank. That's not how human biology works. You don't just magically get bulkier. The size of your body is largely dictated by your diet, and the composition of your body is largely dictated by your training. And she is a insane wealth of knowledge, not only in powerlifting, but with hypertrophy, fat loss. She's awesome. Steffi Cohen over at Hybrid Training Systems. Steffi Cohen, spelled normally. Cohen. Lane Norton. Lane Norton's the man, in my opinion, as far as like realistically understanding what it takes to diet to get the body you want, he's the man. Lane Norton, I would put up there with anyone when it comes to diet and overall approach to understanding, like, it ain't easy, but you can do it. It's simple, but it ain't easy. And he gives out incredibly substantiated information. Everything he's saying is completely backed by rigorous, ample, and conclusive scientific proof. So I definitely think Lane Norton's a guy to follow. The godfather of intermittent fasting, Martin Burkhan. Leangains.com is his website, and his name on social media is Martin Burkhan, Burkhan. I've worked with the guy personally, you know, via email because he lives in Sweden, but he's so wise. He gets it when it comes to training. And what I got from Martin the most, and I still, like, to this day, either use or promote a lot of ideas that he passed along to me. And the biggest one is fuck arounditis, and that we all get bored with training and thinking that we're not doing enough, or we're not doing something that's new and cutting edge and flashy. And then we start trying BOSU ball training, and then we start trying, kettlebells, then it's club training and swinging a mace. And I'm not saying any of those are bad inherently, but this kind of frenetic, scatterbrained idea to training is not going to get you anywhere. And he puts his money where his mouth is. I trained with Martin for like 12, 14 weeks and got farther than I did when I was doing really exotic plans. And his stuff is based around, like, this isn't easy. You're going to bust your ass, but you don't have to spend all day in the gym, and you don't have to do a lot of exotic, crazy programs. It's like I deadlifted, my back was jacked, and I deadlifted at Seal Road and did weighted chins. And I did those three exercises, squatted and bench pressed, and that was it. I trained 3 days a week, and those exercises I left the gym, you know, like I looked like I took a shower. I was sweating balls, and it was a couple sets each, and I just fucking devoted myself to it. And then everything else was all diet. And when you kind of burden yourself with a lot of these choices that you don't necessarily need, they're superfluous, sometimes in the way. You get this problem, this paradox of choice. And a lot of it, his ethos is like filtering out the bullshit and just going to work. So Martin Burkhan, Josiah Novak, smart dude. I've trained with him as well. Knows his stuff. I really recommend him from like a regular guy approach, not meaning that he's not special. He's jacked. He's ripped. But he's a dad. He understands what it's like to have. He has numerous children. He has a full-time job. He has a wife. He has obligations. So you know what I'm saying? He's not some guy who just lives in a gym or makes his living through nutrition and training. He's a regular human being who understands that you have obligations and that he designs programs and diets to fit that. And I think that that's really important. So those are off the top of my head. Some of the people that I recommend, I will continually update that list, but I hope that that was useful to you, and I think it will be if you go and further investigate those people. All right, let's get to the Q&A, bitches. Go to my Instagrammy. I'll just go down the list here. Newest first. Have you ever woken up with morning wood and wifey is not down to help you, so you beat it right next to her in the bed? No, I've never done that. I have definitely woken up with morning wood and my wife has not been. Well, I didn't. Usually, I've never asked. I've never woken up with morning wood and then asked and then gotten rejected. But I've woken up with morning wood and then, like, my wife's dead asleep and I've thought, I'm not going to wake her, and then went into the bathroom and beat off. Yeah, absolutely. But never, no, never that. And I don't recommend that. Don't beat off next to someone who's sleeping or is not into sex. Hey, Mikey, I'm currently weight training and jumping rope 6 days a week on 1,800 calories. That's very little. I'm 6 foot at 225. Okay, bad news. You should not be eating 1,800 calories. So I'm trying to get rid of my belly. Do you think that's too low of calories? Yes. Keep in mind, I am losing 1 to 2 pounds every week. I just wonder, since I just started doing this 2 months ago, if there are smarter ways to do it. Love your content, man. If you're training 6 days a week, anywhere near as hard as you should be training, at 6 foot 225, you should be starting with like 2,700 calories. See how that goes. You want a minimum effective dosage, man. Minimum effective dosage is always the way to go when it comes to training, when it comes to diet. You want to lose weight and get shredded on the most amount of calories you can get away with. So you start at the top. You realize, like, that's too much. Cut it by 300 and continue doing until you hit the sweet spot. Don't start at 1800, man. That's, you're going to have problems with your, I know we all want it faster. I get that. But just please, not just you who asked this question. I don't want to embarrass you, so I won't say your name, but you know, I get it. All of us, myself included, we want fast results. Just please listen to me right now. Get it through your head. They don't exist. There is no fucking free lunch. The 4 weeks to a better you, it may be great to like motivate you and keep you interested, but that's not reality. For me, even whether I'm talking about, if you're 100 pounds overweight or you're me, and I think I have like 7-8 pounds to lose of body fat in to get to what I view as like my ideal body, right? I'm looking at like the end of 2020, and it's the middle of August right now as I record this. That's how far down the road I'm viewing this, because I know this ain't gonna happen overnight. You don't diet for a week. Losing weight, losing body fat, doesn't happen in a week. It doesn't happen by dieting for a couple days, and falling off the wagon and losing your gains doesn't happen by not training and eating like shit for a couple days. It's everything is about prolonged effort. Prolonged committed effort. Consistency and sustainability are far more important than anything else. 1 or 2 good meals a week don't matter in comparison to 85% of your meals being awesome for 6 months. 1 or 2 training, like really amazing training sessions a week, doesn't matter. three consistent, really good training programs for 6 months, that matters. Get this idea out of your head that I am going to get what I want soon. And that goes for life, man, at least as far as I've seen. And I've only been on this earth 41 years. But everything that I've really, ever really wanted deeply, passionately, I had to be really patient. And I had to keep my eye on the prize in the face of a lot of rejection, in a face of sometimes embarrassment, sometimes frustration, sometimes all three. Sometimes naysayers saying, I'm not going to get that. And I just, if I really wanted it, I just had to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. Sometimes for many years, sometimes for over a decade, in the case of like certain professional stuff. And with, look, with relationships too. So just 1,800 calories too low. Don't try to do this fast. It's not going to happen. Guy your size, 6 foot, 225. You're a big boy, dude. Enjoy that. I'm 5'10", 180. I wish I could be 6 foot, 225, so I could eat 2,700 calories and probably still lose weight, especially if you're training. Minimum effective dosage. If you're going to get good results with training 3 days a week, why train six? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't help you. In fact, it can oftentimes harm. Minimum effective dosage with diet and with training. After years being sober, do you ever wake up and still have those urges? If so, how do you deal with these feelings? Cheers. That's from Miles P. I do. Yeah, I've been sober, got to be 18 years in October. I still have urges. I still have these weird feelings. I deal with it by doubling down on what I know to be successful, and that's being honest with someone. I talk to someone about it and confront it. As opposed to, like, pretend like it didn't happen. That's always, you know, my best advice. When something is bothersome to you in a psychological, spiritual way, don't just like, hey, man, I'm moving on. It's not there. Confront it. Say, all right, motherfucker. You want to party? Okay. Let's do this then. Calling my sober friends. Calling a sponsor. Going to a meeting. These are the things that I do. Meditation. But never, ever have I found success with just pretending it didn't happen and trying to push it down. And that goes with not only, like, my sobriety, but with my life, you know? I've had a lot of trouble in my relationship with my wife, which is, I think, really good. Like, we have a great marriage. I love my wife. I worship the ground she walks on. And I do think that that feeling is reciprocated. But, like, the biggest troubles I've found in my relationship come out of me biting my lip about shit that bothers me with her. I feel like I'm being like the magnanimous, awesome husband by like, oh, I'll overlook that and just keep on trucking. But that shit, you don't overlook it and then it just magically disappears. You never fucking Houdini that shit. It always just festers inside you. Whether it be those urges to use and drink, whether it be those urges to lash out at your partner, whether it be those urges to lash out at your kid, whether it be the urges to speak up when your boss does something that you don't like. Like, that shit never just goes away. It sits inside you, and then it comes back to bite you in the ass even harder. So that's kind of how I deal with it. Let's see. I'd ask you if you're a Gamecock fan, but I know better. Because I'm wearing a Gamecocks hat, South Carolina, but it's a hat that says, literally just says Cox in big letters. So yes, that is absolutely the reason. Pardon me. That is absolutely the reason why I got that hat. It was actually a gift. And that was the reason definitely the person bought it for me. But I have come to appreciate the South Carolina Gamecocks because I get so many comments on it from South Carolina fans. All over the world. I've been in fucking Puerto Rico. I remember one time and these people came up to me and they're like, are you Gamecock? And I'm like, no, sorry. I'm just immature. And they're like, ah. But, you know, I've kind of gotten like a little penchant for being a Gamecock fan. So, yes, I actually do consider myself a fan. And I also love South Carolina, the state, both the Carolinas. It's just so fucking beautiful there. So, in a weird way, yes, I am a fan. I haven't gotten to the podcast yet, trying to catch up in Ellis. I sent you a DM question a couple weeks ago, but answer about what CBD ratio used from Care by Design. I don't know. I just take what they give me. I know that they gave me the stuff that they said what didn't have any psychoactive effect, you know, because of my recovery. So I'm really sorry. I wish I could answer better. And I actually am in my house in Venice. I don't have the Care by Design stuff with me, so I can't even go check. But I know that it's just – it's low enough levels of THC that either it's below 1%, I believe. It's like nothing. And it's just so that it won't – it never enacts anything psychoactive. I know you're a fellow Primus fan, but what does Catherwood think about my favorite band, Tool? I like Tool. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of any of the like alt metal from the 90s. Helmet, Tool, Primus, Rollins Band, Faith No More. I really like all of that. You know, I guess what they deem as alt metal. And it was really, that was the you know, the first two White Zombie albums. That was, I think, like a really good high point for music, especially at that era, like post-grunge, you know, post like 92, 93, where grunge was actually good. 94, 95, 96, it started to get so derivative and shitty. Like, it was so bad. But then that kind of stuff really started to pop off. And I know Faith No More and Primus had been around since the 80s. But that's when that really became a thing, and you'd watch 120 Minutes on MTV or Beavis and Butthead or Headbangers Ball, and you were getting these bands that weren't straightforward thrash, a little bit artsier, you know, Deftones certainly. So I like that. I'm a big fan of that. Can you calorie restrict at the same time as intermittent fasting and 3 to 4 days working out a week? Well, yeah, you can. In fact, intermittent fasting is a tool to get to calorie restriction. That oftentimes, that's one of the tools people use to obtain calorie restriction. But always with any calorie restriction, I always recommend minimum effective dose. Don't intermittent fast so that you can eat 500 calories, you know, one meal a day. Intermittent fast so that you can go and get to that 2,300 calories for me. 1,600 calories for a smaller woman. You know what I'm saying? You got to find that. First and foremost, you got to do your work. Do your homework. Find out what your caloric basal metabolic rate is. And then just start with 300, and a reduction of 300. 4 weeks. Give it a shot. If you're not getting the results you want, another 300. That's honestly the best way to do it. That's sustainable. That's real. That's real life applicable tools, you know, not some fad diet, not some like rapid fat loss, this and that. That they never, there's nothing good about it. It's not sustainable, and it doesn't really help. Harry's coming in. Harry, my dog. Hi, Harry. The biggest hurdle you had to overcome that almost derailed or took you off course, hands down, drugs and alcohol. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I would be absolutely be dead, or if I wasn't dead, I'd be like in some type of home or jail or living on the streets. That's at the point that my drug addiction and my alcoholism had gotten. That was the only option, and trying to get to the bottom of it and then deal with that was easily the biggest hurdle I've ever had. I mean, there's certainly been some that have come up, but nothing compares to that. I'm about to turn 40 and I'm done with relationships, perfectly happy alone. Can that be a healthy attitude? I'm not a professional in that. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist, or, you know, a relationship expert even. But I certainly think you can be a happy, healthy person without a relationship. Do I think to make to draw a line in the sand and say I'm done with relationships? I don't think that is healthy. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think any type of predictive thinking is healthy. I am only this. Where you start to make your identity about your thinking and feelings, that's never good. Never works out, man. In my opinion, or gal, I'm sorry. It's a cat avatar and wonderful toy. So it could be a man or a woman. I don't know. I don't know, man. I personally don't believe that it's healthy to make any type of declaration about you and your identity when it comes to your thinking and your feelings. I think we get in a lot of trouble with that right now, especially politically and socially, where it's like, this is the way it is. This is how you think. This is how I am. This is how we should be. That's not human. That's not human nature. That's not human existence. And to get to, I'm sure you've gotten to that point from real heartache and pain. You don't make that kind of claim unless you've had your heart broken. And I get that. Dude, when I got divorced, it did kind of come out of nowhere for me. At the time, it was out of, and now looking back on it, I was like, oh yeah, how could I not fucking read that writing on the wall? But nevertheless, at the time, it kind of came out of nowhere for me. And I was very hurt. I was devastated. I didn't know if I'd ever find love again. And, but I kept my eyes and ears open and my mind open. And you're at 40, you're about halfway through. Why make a claim about anything halfway through life? You do not know. You may meet someone that just makes your life so much better. And if you're living with the mind frame of like, I'm done, why compromise something? Why sacrifice something that could bring you joy and happiness? I don't think. Now, if you decide that you're just not the person who's going to continually actively search out relationships, you're not going to go on the dating sites, I get that. Then that's your business. You do you. What I'm saying is like any of these declarative ideas, any, you know, predictive identity-driven things where it's like, I am the person who's done with relationships. It's just, first off, it's just not true. You're not that person because you're a human being who's fucking wildly complex. And you have no idea what your life's going to be like in 5 fucking days, let alone 5 months. So the reason I hate any of this like predictive stuff is because it doesn't ever turn out that way, ever. So why even try to say like, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to be? You don't know. I think if anything, like the lockdown and COVID-19 has proven that to all of us. You don't fucking know. You don't have no any fucking clue how your life's going to pan out. So just be happy. Be a good person that you like going to bed with at night and you fall asleep and you're like, yeah, you know what? I didn't fuck anybody over today. And sure, I could have done things better here and there, but I provided positive energy to the world and I'm going to wake up and do it again the next day. And just be fucking open. Because, like I said, making a decision about what you are or who you're going to be, it's erroneous. What's your favorite metal band of all time? I have to say Slayer. I just love Slayer so much. Right now, probably either Def Heaven or Mastodon. Every Time I Die is always up there, though. I love ETID. Do you have a morning ritual? If so, what is it? Yes and no. I mean, it's not very rigid, but I do. I wake up and I meditate, and then I usually train. I like to train in the morning. I know that there's some proof science that says like sundown is like the best time hormonally and body temperature wise and all that shit. I'm just someone who it makes me more productive when I start my day with like really hard training. So I meditate when I wake up. I usually do whatever my wife and daughter need me to do, and then I train. Let's see. Do you have any regrets about life, love, decisions made? Yes. The way I've treated women, I have regrets about that. And look, I'm not Bill Cosby, you know, so don't mishear me when I've never done anything actionable ever. But I just, I so often let my horniness manipulate my thinking and my behavior. And you're probably thinking like, well, what does that mean? Obviously it doesn't mean I never was forceful but I never even really direct. I wasn't like directly a liar. I didn't go like, I'm looking for a relationship and you're the one for me. But I always kind of danced around that. I always gave girls an impression that I was after something more than sex, and I wasn't. And I wish, I'm not saying I wish I wasn't, I don't have regrets about being a man whore. I really don't. What I have regrets about is not being honest enough to just be a man whore and be open about it. And it probably would have cost me a lot of girls, but like, I'd feel better about me. You know, not all girls. Some girls were either A, they were upfront with me. It's like, I'm not looking for anything long term. I'm not looking for anything real right now. I just want to have some fun. I was like, okay. And then also there were some girls like I genuinely was interested in more, you know, like my wife. So I wasn't always that guy, but there were a handful of times that like I regret that. I also regret being such a fuck up with drugs and alcohol, getting to the point where I had let it go so far that I was incapable at that time to be in the military. And then by the time I had gotten my shit together enough, that kind of had passed me by. You know, I had built a career, and I was older. I wasn't really, I mean, it just wasn't maybe necessarily a smart move. But I do think that at 18, 19, 20, I would have been a great member of the military. I really would. I love this country. I believe in it. I ain't got any problems taking orders. And, you know, like, I buy in. That's all. And I was aimless. I was such a fuck up. I mean, I think that, you know, that would have been something that, like, it would have kickstarted what I and eventually ended up doing and probably got me to the place where I was at 35 at, like, 25. Just straightened me out, you know, and my father was very, very high ranking, military. His father, my grandfather on my dad's side was a career Navy man and then, retired into teaching at, West Lynn High School, home of one Chael P. Sonnen. So, you know, I feel like a sense of being a letdown. But so, yeah, but besides that, I'm relatively good in the regrets department. If you never got into entertainment industry, what would you be doing? I'd probably be working with kids in some fashion, you know, teaching or, yeah, education, I think. Yeah, I can't think of any, cause I guess, or some art that isn't entertainment, you know, some type of physical art. Where's Rudy at? He lives with me. Everyone knows that. Ever considered doing Highland Games? Yes, I do. I actually do all the time because I want something to compete in. I still am a very active, very passionate martial artist, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. But that ship's kind of sailed for me, at least with Muay Thai, which I'm much more passionate about. And I could still roll and probably compete, you know, but I'd have to get way more serious about jiu-jitsu. And also, fucking blue belts now are like black belts in the 90s. Like, blue belts now, it's not the same, like, for me to compete and go and, like, I'm going to be going against fucking murderers. So and my safety is fine. It's not a concern. It's more of like, do I really want to do that to my ego at 41 years old? I don't know. And, you know, I've thought about powerlifting because if I really focus on that, I could probably be pretty damn good. But then I'd have to eat and be that guy. And, you know, I still do try to make a living in front of a camera. And I don't know if that's a smart idea. And I'm just not strong enough for strongman. So the Highland Games has always been like, I think I might get into that, you know, to answer your question. Do you kind of get frustrated with a lot of fitness questions because 99% of the answer basically boils down to it depends? No, I don't. And for that exact reason, I don't. Because it is such a fucking confusing world that I don't get frustrated by the fact that people are so confused. And because everything's so vague, There's no always and there's no never when it comes to the world of health and fitness. So, no, it doesn't frustrate me at all. It actually kind of was one of the main reasons why I like doing this. Let's see here. What do you think the best diet for a guy in his 40s on TRT? Trying to lean out and gain muscle. Keto, I feel low, no energy during a workout. I got to be honest. Dude, the right diet is the right diet for you. If you're on TRT, that means you are going to have better protein anabolism and protein synthesis. So eat more protein. I do think I can clearly say that confidently. You're going to be wanting to eat more protein, probably a gram and a half for pound of body weight. And, you know, leaning out and gaining muscle, you're not going to do both at the same time. Certainly not in your 40s. So give up on that idea. Work on building or work on leaning out. And leaning out, this goes for everyone. Fat loss is actually just a tricky way of saying muscle preservation. That's what fat loss really is muscle preservation. Being in a caloric deficit and trying to maintain as much muscle as possible. I think if you look at it that way, it makes things a little bit more easy and it makes things a little bit more reasonable. Curious, what have your past relationships thought of you, and what's the key to a good, healthy relationship? First question, what do my past relationships think of me? I'm pretty sure they are okay with me. Most of them. I like real relationships. I don't have that many past relationships. I have one, like, real girlfriend before I met after my first wife, and I think my first wife and I are on pretty good terms. I mean, I certainly don't have any ill will towards her. I think she feels that way about me, I think. I mean, she's never been anything but super nice to me, and she certainly wasn't out for blood in the divorce. My ex-wife was as thoughtful and as considerate as anyone could be when it comes to, like, more money or more assets or asking anything of me. She was like, look, I don't want anything from you. I want to move on with your life, and I want what's best for you to do the same. So I think she's pretty good with me. And then I have, like I said, I had this one actual, like, relationship before I met Bianca, and I know she's cool with me because we actually interact somewhat. I think that a lot of girls are disappointed that I never really committed to them, and I was never really very open and vulnerable, and that was disappointing. But none of them could ever realistically say, like, I did anything bad, you know? What's the key to a healthy relationship? God, I don't fucking know. I'll tell you one key I found: don't settle. The key to a really good relationship, one of the keys to a good relationship, don't get involved with anyone that you know isn't right for you because you feel like you should. Whether you're a dude who's just, she's so fucking hot that you keep making excuses to justify continue going out with her, but you know she's fucking either abusive or not right for you, and I've done it, so don't tell me you're not doing the same thing, at least, you know, especially you younger guys. Where you, if a girl is attractive enough to you, you will put up with fucking everything. So don't do that. A lot of you girls don't continue to justify and make excuses for guys that you don't, you know you're not right for. We all do it at some point in our life where we continue in a relationship knowing all good and well that this isn't right. So don't settle for that person. It may take your whole life, but I would say that one of the biggest keys to a good relationship is getting into a relationship that's with someone that you know is actually good for you. Let's see here. Heard your podcast with Brendan Schaub. Of course, much love to Brendan and Fighter and the Kid Army for having me on so much, man. And I'm asking about nicotine and how can I start using nicotine to sharpen my mind and wake me up? Start with the Zyn patches, Z-Y-N, I think it's how you spell it. Zyn, you'll be able to find them. They're low in nicotine, lower, you know, they're certainly good enough, 2 to 4 grams. Start with that. Start with 4 grams. Or milligrams, whatever it is. Start with four, okay? Whatever the measurement is. And they also don't have any tobacco. It's just nicotine with a little flavoring. Suck on those. You're not inhaling anything. You're not dealing with the harmful additives. It's just the drug nicotine, which is good. Start with that. See how you like it. See your tolerance. Assess that. Once you get to the point where you're like, ah, I need the hitters. These aren't cutting it. I go to, let's see. I'm going to actually find this fucking website. Snusdirect.com. Okay. Snus, S-N-U-S, direct, D-I-R-E-C-T.com. And I order the bad boys, the Volt. But start low. Minimum effective dose. Man, I'll repeat it over and over again. Minimum effective dosey. I'm going to switch over to my, nope, not that account. I'm going to switch over to my Mikey Likes You account, because that was on the Mike Catherwood account. Follow both, please. Let's see. I got a lot of good questions, so thank you again, everybody. All right. Hey there. First time, long time. I'm listening to the pod, which I am loving. I just finished listening to the Carnivore Code on Audible, and I'm going to try and implement a carnivore-ish diet for the next few months. I figure it's a good way to up my protein intake and get closer to what you recommend on your podcast to maximize my lifting gains. But what I'm curious about is your thoughts on a plant-based nutritarian diet, like what Dr. Joel Fuhrman talks about in his book Eat to Live and The End of Dieting. Both books and authors seem to be stating almost opposite information about based on the studies and advice in their research. Sorry, this is strangely written. I know you said the best diet is one that you can do long term, and I'm figuring that out as I go. I'm no scientist or dietitian, just a guy who's trying to do his best to stay healthy and look good with my shirt off. Thanks for your time. Love the pod. I don't know anything about Dr. Joel Fuhrman or his research. I don't know anything, so I'm not going to comment on him. He could be giving great advice. I don't have any dog in the fight when it comes to plant-based versus carnivore versus keto versus anything. I don't care. However you best get to a caloric deficit or caloric surplus, regardless of, you know, dependent on your goals, and with high protein, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Get that in order. If you are a vegan or you hate the idea of animals and animal death and flesh, and start looking into plant-based diets. Start looking into the best sources of plant-based protein and get yourself some essential amino acids. I think that is, pardon the pun, essential for vegans. EAAs, not BCAAs, EAAs. Should be bumping those up. Get your protein to a good high level. Get into a 300 calorie deficit or a 300 calorie surplus, depending on your goals. After that, the rest is up to you. I don't give a fuck how you get there. Like a Viking king. I don't care what your ship looks like when you sail. Just sail there. Make sure you get there. How do I up my style game like you? What's your go-to hair product? I know these aren't fitness questions, but kind of part of the deal right now. How do I up my style? I will say this. I have found that really minimizing my clothing has been so huge for me, not only just in like my lifestyle, it's been made things easier, but I used to spend a lot of money and time like curating a bunch of outfits and spending tons of dough on designer labels and all that. And I occasionally got complimented on my style. I get complimented on my style via social media or in the streets all the time now. And now I've gotten down to like, I have like 3 or 4 pairs of jeans, different cuts and washes. I have a couple pairs of like non-jean pants. You know, I like more of the, what are those fuckers called? Fatigue pants? Like, you know, like old-looking fatigue pants? And that's it. And then, you know, like a denim shirt that I love, my go-to denim shirt and my go-to, like, plaid shirt. And then I have, like, you know, a handful of things that I have for more formal events. But outside, I have, like, my go-to t-shirts, my go-to shirts, my go-to jeans and stuff, and my boots, my Red Wing boots. And, I guess that's my best advice is, like, don't read GQ and look at Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds or Jake Gyllenhaal or whatever. Your perceived style icon. Find, almost like with diet, find your uniform. Find your go-tos. Find your shit that makes you happy, that makes you feel like, yeah, this is it. This is it. Because you know, like, when you're faking it, when you're adopting a uniform, find your uniform, your uniform for you, and go with that. And that does it, because there's something about what happens when you're wearing something that, like, illuminates who you are. That's when I started getting people. I'm like, oh, shit. Best exercises are food to reduce cellulite. There are none. I know that sounds like a trite answer. I'm being honest with you, and this is the best advice you're going to get. Ladies, mostly ladies. I know there are guys who have some cellulite issues, but ladies, cellulite is a skin condition, and oftentimes it's not even related to being overweight. There's, you know, I know a lot of you ladies listening, like, you're not even overweight. You just have cellulite. That is prolonged diet and training. There's no special exercises. There's no special fucking cream, and there's no special fucking supplement, and there's no special food that, like, is good for cellulite. There are things that collectively will add up to help tighten the collagen in your skin. Like, I would say collagen protein is a good idea, but that's a good idea for everyone. So, like, my point being is, like, all the things that I would recommend just generally for being in good health, small amounts of calorie restriction, heavy resistance training, and consistent low intensity cardiovascular training, that's it. And then do that for a long time. Maybe for you that's 6 months, maybe for you it's 6 years. I don't know. But that's I do not like that there are so many people taking advantage of women who are desperate to get rid of cellulite by selling them snake oil, whether it be a diet, whether it be a cream, whether it be a supplement. It's a part of your skin that has to be dealt with in an overall prolonged body fat loss. What creatine supplement company do you recommend, and where online do you get your nicotine pouches? I already answered the last part, snoozedirect.com. Creatine, anything that's Crea Pure, okay? It's a certain German type of creatine that you know is a perfect type of creatine monohydrate that is proven to be effective, okay? Crea Pure. So I know Ben Greenfield's company, Keon, has a Crea Pure. Onnit has a Crea Pure. Jaro has a Crea Pure. Optimum Fitness, any of those, honestly, like, it's super cheap, it's super effective, do it. Let's see here, what's your thoughts on low carb keto? All right, I'll end on this one. This is a good one. I'll end on this next one. What's your thoughts on the low carb keto diet? Also, say what's up to the big homie Rudy. I'm gonna bring in Rudy on the next podcast, okay? Because I get a lot of requests for him. He's a good guy. What's your thoughts on low carb keto? I like low carb keto if you like low carb keto. Honestly, some people really struggle with cutting carbs. I would not recommend keto if you're like a competitive athlete in any type of glycolytic sport, anything that involves explosion. I don't recommend it, you know, but if you can get away with, if you're just a regular Joe that's not competitive in something, or Jane, keto's great if that's what works for you. A lot of people don't like high fat. It doesn't sit with them well. A lot of people don't like low carb. Some people don't like high carb. It fucking makes them sleepy and tired. Some people thrive on it. You just got to kind of, like I said, you got to do your homework. You got to do the legwork and experiment and find out what works for you. If keto, if you like it, if you like eating lots of meat and cheese and fucking low-carb vegetables, and you really enjoy that, that seems to suit you, and you can get your protein to the right level that you're not going to be hurting yourself, and you live a lifestyle where that's appropriate, I love it. I do. I love it. But it's not magic. Magic is very regulated minimal calorie reduction and high protein and proper weight training. That's magic for a long, for prolonged periods of time. So I don't care how you build a ship, just fucking sail there. Higher protein, calorie restriction if you're losing weight. All right, end on this. What are your favorite workout songs and favorite artists to listen to while you train? It's actually a really good answer. I mean, excuse me, really good question. I like the Rocky IV soundtrack. It sounds cheeseball. I know. Give it a shot. Trust me, like second or third song in, you'll be listening to like Eye of the Tiger or like In the Darkest Night, Rising Like a Spire. And you fucking feel like Rocky Balboa training on the beach to beat Ivan Drago and you get pumped. Rocky IV soundtrack. Recommend it. I like the LA band Terror, hardcore band Terror. They fucking kick ass for like that, just no holds bars, no frills, nothing fancy, straight up hardcore with a lot of breakdowns and a lot of like anthemic, motivational lyrics. Also Hatebreed, of course. Big ups to my boy, Jamie Josta. And right now, yeah, I mean, I would say those are my three big recommendations. But, you know, that's not for everybody. Like really heavy hardcore is not for everybody. But Rocky IV soundtrack for everyone. All right, dude. All right, gal. Thank you to everyone. Seriously, you guys are the best. The fact that this podcast is growing, I know a lot of it is from TFATK listeners, and I love you guys for it. Thank you to everyone who's spreading the word. Thank you to everyone who's subscribing and downloading, and please encourage other people to do it. I love this podcast. I really do care about you and what is going on in your life and in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares. Remember that I do.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.